step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah.
And today, our first movie, Sarah's favorite topic.
AI killing us? Again?
Yeah.
Wow. It's just,
we can't get off it.
Apparently not. We just talked about it on the social media podcast.
That's where we're at in the 21st century.
Yes.
AI
yes.
refuses to give me flying cars or self-moving sidewalks, but it's going to kill me. That's just... How rude.
Yes.
So this is in reference to the new movie Upgrade, which was strange for me because I totally remember seeing the trailers for it in a previous movie and then was actually surprised that it came out because I didn't hear anything about it whatsoever coming out and couldn't even like, even if you went to like the, I went to Fandango to see what movie times were and they have that whole list at the top of, you know, current movies or upcoming movies. Had all these, including ones from like a month ago, but did not have Upgrade in that like top banner. And I was just like, what? And it's not like a small indie movie. Like it was at all the main regular movie theaters in my neighborhood. So I'm just like, why didn't I only knew about it because I was looking for the movie time for something else. That was the only way. I was like, what? Wait, what? Why didn't I hear anything about this? Even though this was a movie I saw the preview for and I was like, that looks interesting. Because I'm sure we're only like 5 years away from that, of having the implanted whatever that can talk to you and
right.
control your body.
Right.
And yeah. So in this movie, the main character, Gray, is sort of a technophobe. He doesn't like technology. He like rebuilds old cars or something. But his wife works for a tech... I don't want to say implant. It's like to help people who have had amputations.
Okay.
Technology. What
prosthetics?
Are those? Maybe. Something like that.
Okay.
And has like a self-driving car. And she's and they have a AI in the house. She's very much like technology, whatever. He's like, I want to do things with my hands and I don't care about technology.
He'd rather live off the grid.
Right. Well, not off the grid, but he's just like that old-fashioned of, you know, a real man knows how to fix his own car sort of. Thing. So but he because he restores these cars he has been commissioned a job to restore a car for this man who has his own tech company and does similar to the things his wife does but like better like she has to go with him because once he drops off the car he has no way to get back home so he's like you have to take your toy car and come with me so we have a way to get home
okay
so it's very they're both in the car they're he's delivering and then the self-driving car is just following behind them, presumably with nobody in it. I'm like, that's kind of actually cool.
Yeah.
But they go and she like fawns all over this guy when she hears who he is and what he does. And he gives the car. And then as they're driving home, their car detours from where it's supposed to go and ends up in his old neighborhood where it crashes. And then they are accosted by a group of men and his wife is killed and he is shot in the back of the head and ends up a quadriplegic.
And okay. Wow.
Yeah. And that's all just like in the first 5-10 minutes.
Dang.
That's really just the setup, because
they were able to establish that he is that, like, technophobic in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, because when his wife comes home, he makes comments about technology or whatever. And she's like, why don't you do whatever? And he's like, I like whatever. This is better than your... And again, he calls her car a toy car.
Mm-hmm.
So he clearly doesn't like technology. I wouldn't call him a technophobe, but that's what, like, the synopsis called him. So I'll just go with it. But so anyways, he's a quadriplegic and he's having to deal with this while at the same time dealing with the death of his wife. And he ends up in the hospital, and the guy who he did the car for, the tech guy, comes to visit him and offers him this opportunity to have this chip implanted in him. He had shown them this chip when he was at the house, and the guy just scoffed and said, you know, oh, well, that chip can't do whatever things that humans can do. I forget what he listed. But now that he's quadriplegic, he's like, maybe...
Right. You know, maybe I should give this a shot.
Since the whole purpose of this chip is to sort of, it would bypass the part of his spinal cord that's been damaged,
mm-hmm.
and allow him, you know, to walk and to control his own limbs. Mm. But because this is not FDA approved or whatever.
Oh, dear.
They have to do this experiment in secret. So he agrees.
Oh, of course they do.
He agrees and goes to the guy's house, and that's where they, you know, lay him down on the table.
Oh, yeah, that's always
that's
a good idea.
Super safe surgery. I mean, they do, you know, swab his neck so that all the... not swab. What is it? Where they wipe it before they give you a shot. That sort of thing.
Right, yeah.
With antibacterial whatever.
Yeah, but...
And, yeah. So anyways, he gets the chip implanted, and he can move. And he's like, this is great. And he goes home, and he's been working with the detective who's looking up his wife's case to try and figure out who killed her, but they haven't had any luck.
Mm-hmm.
So because in this very near future, it's totally regular procedure to just give, you know, a witness the case files, he has the case files at his house. And now that he can move, he's looking into them more. And he's watching the video because there are these flying police drones all around that managed to capture when she was killed. He's watching a video, he pauses, he gets up, and then he hears a voice, and he's like, what the heck, what's going on? And he thinks he's freaking out, and it's the chip implant
talking to him.
Ew.
Okay.
Why is that an ew?
No, just, I don't want, I mean, okay, so it's implanted to help him, you
move,
know, bypass, right, that spot in his spinal cord, but it doesn't need to be talking to me. I do not,
right,
need the voices in my head to then be real.
Well, the whole purpose of the chip was that it can do everything humans can do, but better. That was how it was sold. So the chip, whose name is Stim, and I'm sure this is on purpose, sounds quite a bit like Hal from 2001.
Okay.
Starts talking him through, hey, I noticed this thing in the video that humans totally, like, humans would not have noticed this at all, or even if they did, you see a tattoo on one of the killer's arms, but you can't tell what it is. And so Stim's like, oh, well, I can draw it. I understand what it is. And so he's like, do I have your permission to take off your arm to draw it? And he does with a pencil, but he draws it in the way like a printer does, where it prints like line by line.
Oh, weird.
I was like, I don't know that that's how a human body would draw that, but okay. And so he starts giving him this information that the regular human detectives can't find to find out who killed his wife. But because, A, no one's supposed to know about Stim because this was not a legal procedure, and B, he has no actual evidence because how do you explain the non-legal chip in my head told me it was this guy?
Right.
He decides to go on his own to find these guys. And
oh, but he's not on his own.
Yeah, that. Go on his own, but not go on his own to find these guys and deal with them. And then you get those scenes in the trailer where, like, he, you know, he's fighting a guy and doing it very badly because he doesn't know how to do it. And Stim's like, do I have your permission to take over? And he's like, permission granted. And all of a sudden, he's like super cool and totally kicks butt and seems to defy physics, because there's a couple times where he's like lying flat on the ground and then comes up almost in the reverse of like a dead body fall. Like, if you think of in the first Harry Potter, when Hermione petrified Neville,
mm-hmm.
and he just fell like a board.
Right.
That, but in reverse, coming up. And I'm just like, I don't think the human body does works that way, but okay. Like, and the fight scenes are really cool. And this is where I think the actor, Logan Marshall Green, really does well in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's obviously doing it. We don't, as far as I know, yet have chips that can control your body in this way. But he has to look the whole time like, whoa, what the heck? My body's doing, and my arm just did that, and my, wow.
Right.
So he does that really well, because he does often look like, I have no clue what's going on while doing these intense fight scenes.
Okay.
And I was like, you know what? Bravo for that. I don't recognize almost any of the actors in this. Yeah, not one of the actors.
Yeah, I was just
film.
Looking it up, and I didn't recognize any of the names.
But I was like, but good for you. That was well done in all the action scenes to look like you really don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But as he's going through and STEM keeps leading him to things, he has to use STEM because, of course, he doesn't know how to do these things and he can't find this information without STEM.
Right.
But STEM and he have a bit of moral dilemma about things. He just wants answers. He wants these people to be brought to justice. And when STEM gets in charge of his body, that's not quite what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And a few episodes ago, we talked about Deadpool 2. Why can I never say that? I said that in that episode too. Deadpool 2, and how if you were slightly squeamish, you might not want to see that because mm-hmm. there's a part where Deadpool gets like torn in half and there's people who fall into like fast moving blades.
Ugh.
If you are squeamish, do not see this film. Do not.
Okay, so I'm good.
Because I didn't know it was even going to be this bad at first. Because when you first see it with the shooting with him and his wife, you don't actually fully see it.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell she's got shot, but you don't actually see the shooting happen. And it comes out later why that is. And you can tell he's been shot, but then he can see. So it's like, you got shot in the back of the head, but you can see and talk.
Mm.
How are you alive if you got shot in the back of the head? I'm confused.
Right.
And so those look fine. And I thought, you know, oh, we're just going to hint at violence, but not really show it.
You were lulled into a false sense
of
security.
Oh my gosh. Because the first time when he goes to see one of the bad guys, you get the cool fight scene, but then the way it ends, I was just like, oh my, wow. I did not know we were going. And that one, I don't know if it's the worst because it's the first one, or if it's just the worst because it's the worst the way it happens. I feel it was the worst, but it doesn't make any of the other deaths in this film better.
Because
there's one, I actually, by the second one, I kind of could tell when we were getting to the part when someone was going to die. And I like close my eyes and look away.
Uh-huh.
But then you can still hear it because it involves a knife carving flesh.
Ew.
And then we come back. And the main character has also turned his head. So I don't know how much of that death scene you do see as an audience member. Because even with the main character, you see that his head is turned and he's like, enough, STEM, enough. And I'm just like, oh, okay.
Wow.
And then there's other deaths in the film. And I'm just like, wow, yeah. What was the rating on this film? Just did I not understand what it was coming in? Because did not get that we were going to go that let's show death thing.
So STEM is a little bit sadistic, apparently.
Well, STEM is a computer program.
Yeah.
And doesn't have the morals and feelings that humans do. At one part, to get some information, they go to a bar and what's his name? Gray. Gray is talking about how he used to like get drunk. And STEM remarks, I do not understand why human beings intentionally malfunction. And I'm just like,
right.
I mean, I don't drink, so I'm like, yeah, me neither. But at the same time, it's like, you're not getting the human side of being human. Oh, this is not going to go well, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But interestingly, it's more about, so like the tech stuff does come up a couple of times because it comes up that the killer people also have tech implants. And there's one thing involving the main killer guy and the way he deals with someone. Then I'm just like, if you can do that, why do you ever bother to do anything else the way you kill someone? It's just like, why have you been doing anything else if it's that easy to kill? And also, how does that work, like, biologically? I don't understand. Cool, but I don't understand it, and I'm terrified now. But so you do see a lot of things. The main detective who is investigating Gray's wife's case also doesn't really like technology. So she uses technology, obviously, because she's a detective and there's like drone footage of crimes. So mm-hmm. you can't not use it. But like she doesn't have a self-driving car. And I don't even know whether or not she has a cell phone. Like she also.
Oh, wow.
She's also a bit old fashioned. So it does come up a bit with the whole like, is technology good? Have we gone too far with technology? But it is majorly a action film where people end up dead. Let's go with that.
Well, there's a lot of action in the trailer. I mean, just
like... Yeah, which I was kind of excited about because I was like, that's cool and interesting. And I know we're going to get to some terrifying things because the chip can take over your body, but it looks cool. And then we get to the actual action. And I'm just like, oh, no. Pass. Thank you. Can we not do this? Okay, we're going to do this later in the film again. Ugh, fine.
Well, one of the comments in the from a critic in the trailer that I watched was the blood dripping, bone crushing film you've been waiting for. I didn't think I was waiting for that, but
yeah, those both happen, blood dripping and bone crushing.
Yes.
So if you were waiting for a blood dripping, blood crushing film, yeah, this is probably a good one.
Alrighty then.
So I mean, I don't want to see it again, and if I knew it was going to be that graphically violent, I wouldn't have seen it in the first place, despite the interesting storyline. Or not storyline, themes, I guess,
mm-hmm.
with technology. But if that's your cup of tea, you might get a bit of an adrenaline rush, I'll say. And the way it ends is, huh. That's all I'll say. The ending is just sort of, huh, I don't know how to feel about this.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah. So, on that note, we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
Watching TV has changed over time. Streaming has become the new norm. That's why Golden State Media Concepts television podcast dives headfirst to the world of cord cutting. Want to be on the loop of what's hot in Netflix? Or if it's not a preference, what about original shows in Hulu? We've got you covered. Join us as we fill in the blanks and talk about movies to stream and what show you should be binging. This is the Golden State Media Concepts television podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC movie podcast. Our second film is not technology based, but is sort of things in your head based.
And it is from the same producer as our first movie. So there
really?
Is a tie-in. Yes.
Wow.
Yes,
Wait,
I saw that in
the producer.
I don't know. I just saw from the producer of Get Out something something and I was like, "Hey, there's the tie-in."
Wow. He's clearly very interested in that topic.
Apparently.
Because yes, the second movie is Get Out, which also deals with people in your body, controlling your body. And that's not really a spoiler because that's...
You can kind of tell from the previews.
Yeah.
That there's something going on.
Well, I knew that even. Like, when I saw the first preview for it, I didn't want to see it because it looked a bit like a horror film.
It does look like a horror film. It's not?
I think it's even considered in the horror film genre, but
right.
It's clearly...
Okay.
It's
Is it more psychological than horror?
There are some jump scares.
Okay.
And like jump scares with the music of jump scares even.
Right.
With like ding, and you're like, what the heck was that? That happens. But then it's more dealing with themes about
race.
Which was also what I knew about it. So I knew that it was dealing with themes of race, and I knew the premise, which I hope is not spoiling, because I didn't look into this film, I just somehow knew this, was that white people were taking over black people's bodies.
Right. Yeah, so the first time we saw this preview, my husband is black, and I am not. We both, when we first started watching it, we thought it was, we couldn't quite tell what
right.
it was. Because,
yeah.
you know, we kind of wanted to laugh, but we were also like, I don't get what's going on here.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really strange concept. And yeah, and then when you hear, who is it, Jordan?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's Jordan Peele. He was on the NPR show Wait, Don't Tell Me, and they were asking him about this, and mm-hmm. just to listen to him talk about it, and his mother's white, and the host of the show said, "So, what does your mom think?"
Right.
It was just, yeah, but then the deeper themes are definitely there.
Yeah.
I started hearing more about that, so I still haven't seen it, but...
Well, and I think it helps to at least know that premise of, okay, they're trying to take over the main character's body, because if you didn't know that... If you didn't know what was going to... You'd be so confused.
Right.
Because even knowing that, there were times where I'm just like, what the heck? Because he meets, there are other black people there. It's not him in a whole crowd of white. He is dating a white woman played by, totally just forgotten her name from Girls.
I'll look it up.
I only watched like a couple of episodes of Girls and I didn't like it. And I really didn't like her character, but I actually really quite like her in this.
Allison Williams?
Allison Williams, yes. So he is dating Allison Williams, who invites him to...
Whose father is Bradley Whitford, right? From
her real father?
Or no, in the movie. In the movie.
Is from...
The West Wing.
Oh, I haven't seen The West Wing.
What?
I told you
I know
that.
You did, but...
Sorry, listeners, I have not yet seen The West Wing. It's somewhere in my queue, I'm sure.
I don't think we were talking about that on the movie podcast. So.
Her mother is Catherine Keener, that part I knew.
Okay.
So she invites her boyfriend, who is the general's husband from Black Panther, but I'm completely blanking on his name. This is how everything is referred to as the general and the general's entertainer.
Wait, which character are we talking about?
The general's husband.
The main character. The main Chris character. Washington.
No. Daniel...
Sorry, that's his name. Okay. Daniel Kaluuya.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So they go up to her parents' house for the weekend, but that weekend is also when her parents are holding some event that her father's father started, and they continue for some traditional reason, and it's mostly white people. They have a black housekeeper and a black gardener.
But in the previews, it seems like some of the black characters are dressed in completely period inappropriate clothes.
How do you mean period inappropriate?
Like they look like they're from a different decade.
Well, the housekeeper and the gardener act like they're from the 50s.
Okay.
And I think we'll get into that when we get to the themes.
Okay.
Because that's sort of how it felt like part of, yeah. But so he feels very uncomfortable and they have a conversation the first night of like, wow, I didn't think my parents were racist, but they kind of are. And there's a lot of sort of, oh, we're not racist, we're great. She even points out before they go there that, like, my father would have voted for Obama a third time if he could. And I'm only telling you this because he will bring it up. And then he gets there and the guy does say exactly that. Man, I would have voted for Obama a third time if I could. I was just like, okay.
And usually if you are the person saying I'm not racist, there's a reason you're saying.
No one specifically says I'm not racist, but that's the sort of thing that comes up. So, like, at the party, that's a bunch of older people, and they're all dressed in black for some reason, save for the only other black person there who is acting a bit strange. But they keep meeting people, and the things they talk about when they meet these people are strange. So, like, the first person he meets is really into golf. And he's like, man, I love Tiger. Tiger's my favorite. And then he meets someone else who's talking about, yeah, it used to be whatever, but black is cool now. Black is the end thing. And it's just like,
whoa,
just throwing out like the one black person name, you know. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And as they're going along, you can tell by the looks on his face and his girlfriend's face, they're just like, okay.
Yeah.
At one point, they meet a woman whose husband is in a wheelchair with an oxygen mask. And she comes up and feels his bicep and then, you know, asks him, is it true what I heard? And they're like, what? It's like, is it better with, and then looks down at his crotch. And the girlfriend's like, okay.
Oh.
All right. Like, okay then. Yeah. So there are a few jump scares. There's the scene that I think is in a lot of the trailers where you see someone just like running really fast at him.
Mm-hmm.
If you pay attention, it's kind of explained why that's the case. Although my first thought is, but didn't you see him? Like, what the heck? And there is a moment at the party where the one black person seems to kind of wake up. Again, okay. If you know the premise that this is white people being put into black people's bodies, the black person kind of wakes up and takes control of his own body for a moment and yells at Chris to get out. And that's where the title comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's taken away and taken back to his girlfriend's mother, who is a hypnotist.
Yes.
And comes out and is back to being himself again. But the interesting thing about this is when you see the black people who have been taken over, even Chris is sort of like, he at one point when he's talking to the black man who eventually yells at him to get out, but is still at that time the older white gentleman in his body, he's like, that guy is acting kind of weird. And then the guy's wife comes up and says, oh, someone wants to talk to you. And Chris goes to like fist bump him. And the guy like grabs his hand around his fist like he was trying to shake hands and didn't understand what was going on. And I just, Chris is just like, what? What are you doing?
I'm going to backtrack here because I just saw yeah. now from Blumhouse, the producer of, I don't know what that is exactly, Blumhouse, if that's...
Oh. Okay. That,
there you go. Mm-hmm. People who are interested in shoving consciousnesses into the wrong body.
Right. Yeah. So there is a good number of things, even before we get to the jump scares, because his girlfriend believes very much that, you know, her family's liberal and not racist. And then when we get there and her dad does the thing about Obama and her mother does something else and her brother shows up and wants to challenge Chris to like an MMA fight, because Chris, with your something and your genetic makeup or something like that, would be really great at MMA. That's what he says, and then wants to like get up and try and put him in a headlock. And so when they go upstairs that night, she's just like, "I am sorry, I didn't know my family was like that." And Chris is like, "I didn't want to say I told you so, but I told you so," because mm-hmm. he had been worried even before going there. You know, you've never dated a non-white guy. Is your family going to be okay with this? And she tried to reassure him, and now he's like, "I told you.
I took my husband home to Montana, and this didn't happen." This is a movie, but...
I mean, because they all probably think they're very, you know, liberal and open-minded, and then the things they say, it's just like, that's... I know you think you're being, like, complimentary there, but no.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So then he does find out sort of what's going on. And is taken to have his own whatever done. And the person who is supposed to be put into his body, I was just like, "Ah, really, man? Seriously?"
Now, I don't want to give anything away, but do they explain why the white people are being put into the black people's bodies?
Okay. This is where the themes come in. Because this was I'm going to go with procedure... that was created by the girlfriend's grandfather, her father's father.
Okay.
Who was getting older and didn't want to go away and wanted to get back to, you know, the youth and vitality that he used to have. And so created this procedure, which is called something, and I can't remember the name of it. And he's like, "I'm so proud it came from my own blood." His son is a neurosurgeon and his daughter-in-law is a hypnotist. And those both are involved.
Okay.
And that's how it gets to happen. It became a procedure that they sort of like sell to people in their social circle. So black people are chosen, again, for the sort of genetic makeup thing.
Oh, jeez.
Because for some of them, it's to be physically faster or stronger. For others, it's because they think they're cool or that whole sex thing. It's just,
I have so many comments. So many comments. Wow. Yeah. Okay. I can't even formulate them, but I mean, I know that Jordan Peele's mind has got to be a very interesting place to begin with, but clearly he was putting a lot of his thoughts and
there's a number of themes. So there's the not quite knowing how to connect to black people thing that you see with the "I love Tiger and I'd vote for Obama again" and
"Can I touch your hair?"
The "let me shake your fist" bump.
Right.
But even with the housekeeper and the gardener, who, if you know the premise, you can kind of guess, have already been taken over by people. It was so weird, the first parts with them, because I was like, did we suddenly jump back to the 50s? Because the way they talk, even, not only dress, but the way they talk about things is just very old-fashioned. And you later find out it's because of who's in them. The older white people who just don't quite know even how to talk young, never mind to relate to a black person.
Oh, I have so many questions. Okay.
But I think the main theme, and I have not read what Jordan Peele said about this, but I think the main theme is probably having to do with the idea of like white privilege, I guess.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause
if you think of how privileged these people have to feel, that it's perfectly okay for me to take over another person's body, never mind what they wanted to do with their life. It's just like,
that's where a lot of my questions stem from. So you grew up with white privilege and now you're going to put yourself into the body of someone who doesn't have that privilege, someone who is, you know, who faces a very different
existence
than you.
Yes, but no. it's kind of strange. So you get, like, with the guy who thinks, you know, black is in right now, that he thinks we're kind of past that, and that black has become the new cachet of cool. And so to be a black person is to be the, like, coolest person in the room. That they think we're kind of past it. And there's an actual, there's a scene when Chris and his girlfriend are on the way to the house. The girlfriend is driving, and she hits a deer. Mm-hmm. And they're sufficiently freaked out about this that she calls the cops. Because, and the cop tells her, you know, next time you should really call, like, animal control or whatever. She's like, yeah, I'm sorry. My mind was just, I was that freaked out about it. And she's been talking to him the whole time because she was driving. But then the police officer asked to see Chris's ID.
Right. And some of that's in the previews.
Yeah. And she's like, no, wait, why? He wasn't driving. And she's very upset about this, you know, very. And Chris is just like, it's fine. I have my ID, whatever. But she's very upset on his behalf. But you get from that and the fact that she didn't know, you know, her family was going to react that way, and her family's friends, when they come over, were going to react that way. There's this sort of disconnect between what people think is the actual reality of lives of most black people and mm-hmm. what black people would say the reality is.
Right.
And so I think that's also a theme, too, of just like you think you know and you really, really don't. It's a very interesting film. I want to watch it again just because the jump scares at the beginning did get me because mm-hmm. I did know it was kind of considered a horror film.
Right.
And I was like, don't. What? Oh, why do you have to do that? Like, if you're supposed to be philosophical, don't do jump scares. What the heck? But yeah, the themes it's dealing with, very interesting. And then the way it deals with it in the end, the way it resolves the situation mm-hmm. is interesting, but I think would have been had more of a impact on me, except that I kind of already knew what happened because I had heard it talked about on a different podcast.
Okay.
Where they talked about the end and who shows up and how that happens. And I was like, oh,
wow,
man.
Way See, to give it away.
If I didn't know that that was coming, this moment would have, like, felt more not emotionally. It's not like an emotional moment, but I would have been expecting one thing. And then something else happens, and since I knew that was coming, I didn't raise as much in my, like, getting into the movie for the ending part.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, overall, very interesting film to watch. I can understand why a lot of people were talking about it, why it got so much buzz, because it's definitely making some statements on right. some very serious topics that we're still dealing with today as a society.
Yeah.
So probably definitely one to watch.
All right. Put it on my list.
Yes. And on that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Movie Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.